With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watch you struggle and I watch you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Auburn Arena time is 8:42 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast. Harbored by college at magnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I, Center Crow. Drew Croson at Center Crow 2 on Twitter at Center Crow is where you'll find me on Venmo, aka the complaint department. If you have any complaints, tips, tricks for this podcast, please pay me a dollar and leave them in the comments on Venmo. I can't wait to see if that works. It's already worked once, actually, so we know that it is going to work. I hope that this podcast is mixed well enough for those of you who did leave me a comment and a dollar, because, you know, we aim to please. To one side
something
of me,
like that.
Something like that. Yeah, we aim to shoot. To one side of me, via the magic of the internet, is the rumor monger Ryan Starrett at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for stat spreadsheets. Ryan, between you, Varner, Josh Dubb, how many minutes per day is spent compiling the same statistics of Auburn basketball on the spreadsheets?
Many. Yeah. Probably too many.
Y'all need to get a group text going. Oh, but you're not all the same, which is the funny part.
It's just different enough, depending on your taste.
I looked at Varner's, and he's got a different box plus minus for some guys than you do. And I'm like, I wonder if they're taken from different stats. And then I looked into it. I was like, I think one of the stat sites had team rebounds listed differently. And so it really affected
people's. That's been the problem that I found out. I knew there was a discrepancy last year, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And I found it last week where if you look at stats reference, they don't include the team rebounds. So if they just sum whatever rebounds got assigned to certain players. But if you look at the stat broadcast for each game, they include team rebounds. So that kind of throws off some numbers.
Yeah, I bet. And to the other side of me, bringing that full Fort Payne ASMR, is the AU chief.
Take this under advisement, jerkweed.
All right, go ahead. What's it from?
Oh, Ryan. The greatest Christmas movie ever made.
This is from Die Hard.
Yes.
Jacob Varner. Shout out to Jacob Varner. I mentioned him earlier.
Get your own auburnstats.com or something like that.
Well, Jacob and I did an Auburn cycling podcast. We talk about loosely Auburn and then mostly professional cycling. Mm-hmm. But yes, Ryan and Jacob and Josh need and Nerd to some extent need some sort of an Auburn stats.
Auburnnerds.com.
Well, we
that sounds like a dating site.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to compete with, first of all, I don't want to compete with College of Mag. I don't want to take readers from the beloved College of Magnolia.com, aka the mothership. But I also don't want it to be a weird dating site for, I don't know, electrical engineering majors at Auburn.
Hey, chemical.
AuburnNerds.com. It'll be like a bunch of people with engineering degrees and then like one random like city planning person who's just like, wait, how did I get in here? I'm in the wrong spot. And then like one theater guy who's super into Star Wars. All different kinds of nerds. no women will be on that website, so it'll be really tough. It'll be super tough for all parties involved.
Does it include the nerds that are really into recruiting?
No. No. Oh. Unless he's also a chemical engineering major, but I don't think he was.
It's electrical, I think.
Oh, there it is. Maybe AU nerd can get on two different ways. So she said, all right. So we got to talk basketball. Auburn played three basketball games since the last time we recorded and looked really adequate in two of them and woeful in the third.
Mm.
Mm. I think we should have just led into that with saying, since the last time we recorded, Auburn won a basketball game. That's it.
Yeah, that's a more upbeat.
That's how you spend that, girl. Come on.
Well, hey, you know what? Losing to the number one team in America in December, not a big deal. And even losing the way Auburn
again,
lost,
the spin is that we held them to fewer points than Kansas did.
Sure.
Because Auburn is a better basketball program than Kansas.
Mm.
Well, we've progressed further more recently than they have. That's for sure.
That's true.
I mean, head to head on the court, we saw what happened. So
yeah. At this moment, still the reigning SEC tournament basketball champions.
Yeah.
Auburn Tigers.
And reigning Final Four attendee.
Opened the season with a win in overtime versus St. Joe's, who
yeah.
was beaten so badly they canceled the program for 14 days. Decided to take 14 days off right after that game. Then Auburn goes and plays the number one team in America, Gonzaga, who looked
16 hours later.
Yeah, who looked every bit of the number one team in America. That team is pros.
I didn't think they looked that great the first half.
Man.
Just to be honest. The second half.
They looked really good for the second game of the year.
Sure. The second half. The
freshman point guard they got is
absolutely. They should have been up on us by 30 points in the first half, and yeah. they weren't. That's why I say that I didn't feel like they played that well the first half. Second half, they played like the best team in the country.
Are you a believer now, Crow? Are they getting past Sweet 16?
I don't know, man. It's still hype. Gonzaga folds up, you know, like it's cheap, like a cheap lawn chair when it comes to March Madness. But then the third game, Auburn looked defensively great.
Well, they
but horrible I said this, offense.
They looked like a team that had spent the last few days probably getting tested every day for COVID and were more worried about, oh, were we exposed? And not worried in a like, oh, man, I'm going to get sick. I'm afraid of getting sick. In a like, oh, am I going to get exposed and we're not going to play? And they really looked like a team who had been disrupted by worrying about something other than basketball.
And I think road trips this year in basketball
yeah.
are going to be weird. Because there's no – in normal years, there's that, like, team camaraderie. You go out to
yeah,
eat
you,
at the restaurant the day before. You hang out at the right. hotel, hang out on the bus. None of that's happening this year.
Exactly.
It's like
nothing to keep you loose. You're yeah. in your hotel room. They're probably in some of the ballrooms. I'm wondering if they're making – I think the distancing on the sideline is silly, and I'm wondering if they're making them distance – off the court too.
It wouldn't shock me if they are to some extent on road trips. Like I know some schools are going like no roommates overnight, like in hotel rooms. So
yeah,
you end
I mean,
up
without
I any of that.
That and, well, that to me is smart because you know if one guy gets exposed, then you don't end up with two people out instead of
yeah.
Just
so
the
then
one.
Like, were they delivering your food to your room? You're not eating with your buddies if you're with your right. teammates. You aren't riding the bus in a mask, probably sitting on it, separate aisles to distance yeah. out.
It's like weird.
Man, it's going to be – road trips are going to be weird. There's not going to be the home court advantage due to the crowd, but there's definitely yeah. going to be a home court advantage due to the stress of traveling
yeah.
with COVID.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you get to sleep in your own bed if you're the home team.
Exactly. I wonder if that will affect some teams. I wonder if there will be some games where – Auburn decides to leave day of the game.
I think they're going to do that for most of them.
Hey, look, we play it.
Anything that's not a morning game, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We play at 7:30 tonight in Starkville. We're flying over there.
I mean,
we'll fly out at noon.
Yeah. Well, even if you play at like 11 in Tuscaloosa, like
Well, yeah.
Drive this. You wake up at.
I think that was always seven the, and that go. Was always the case. But I think like the farther games, like playing in Columbia,
even Starkville, you could do that. In Athens, you could do that.
Fayetteville's tough.
Fayetteville's tough. I imagine they're still flying up to that.
I bet they fly to all of them. To be honest.
Yeah. Maybe.
They flew to all of them last year, I think.
But then that begs the question: okay, you're going to take a. You know, however, 2 hour flight in this tiny plane, and then you're gonna social distance on the sideline. Like, right. I don't know. The
social Is that any better or worse than a bus for that same amount of time or a longer amount of time?
No, I'm just saying, like, the distancing on the sideline
I agree.
It's very weird to me.
I think that the plane is to probably say nothing safer.
Of the fact that they're sweating the and bus. Using the same basketball and leaning on each other.
Sure, right. Right, and guys are still yelling, and the masks aren't staying on at all times, and like it's I don't know, it's a little weird.
I think
I hate to be the person like over Thanksgiving. I noticed this where it's like, man, are you watching all these games, football, basketball, whatever? And I'm a fairly pro mask person, and not everybody in my family is. But then I sit there and watch these games, and I have to be the one that says, yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. Like, what are they doing?
Yeah, the sports folks still wearing masks on the sidelines after spending all week together. I think that's what's going on here, and it seems a little silly at this point, but whatever.
I'm not going to criticize anybody for wearing a mask, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to convince anybody with your symbolism to wear a mask, but at this point. Yeah. But, you know, whatever.
I would love to see the person that, 9 months in? Says, oh, man, you know, Gus was wearing a mask. I guess I should, too.
Yeah. It's funny in across all sports to see, and it's happened in everything I've watched, to see the coach get so mad he pulls the mask down to start yelling.
Yeah.
Like,
and get in somebody's face, yeah.
Every single one of the coaches has done it.
I think you will see people who aren't wearing masks because Coach Saban's been wearing a mask and he got COVID anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
So, all right, let's talk a little bit of the advanced stats. I know that the advanced stats and stats in general, in some ways, haven't been too kind to the guy that I think is the most talented player currently playing for Auburn right now in basketball, and that's JT Thor. I think JT Thor has had a couple of rough outings, but is doing things that aren't necessarily showing up in the box score, like altering shots, and will randomly have a flash where you're like, oh, holy cow, this guy, that's the reason why this guy was going to be the number one recruit in his class before he reclassified.
Yeah, I think when you watch him play, I mean, it's somebody that if you were scouting him, you would say, oh, man, this guy's going to be really good. But he's not going to show up stats-wise doing anything positive just because he's shooting 10% from three.
Yeah,
he's got the highest usage percent on the team. I mean, you want him to get these reps now.
He made all his free throws against Gonzaga, and they fouled him a ton because you can't. How do you guard a 6'10" guy
on the perimeter?
On the perimeter, exactly. So like, he's going to end up being the Mustafa Heron honorary. Gets the foul line somehow more often than he shoots the regular shot as a guard. But yeah,
definitely going to have to knock those down a little more than we did the other night, though. Oof.
Yeah,
that was rough.
What, you mean 50% is not good?
No.
No, Ryan, your abbreviation here, FTPM, is that free throws
per minute?
Yeah. So right now he's shooting a free throw. He's shooting about 0.27 free throws for every minute he's on the court.
Oh wow,
he's the highest on the team. Turbo is at a quarter of a free throw for every minute on the court, and he's above that, and that's incredibly high.
Yeah, especially for a forward, quote unquote. Well, not I guess not.
Really. I mean, usually you see the bigger guys get to the line more. Like, you know, Austin Wiley was a master of that last year.
Right, right. You expect it from a forward that posts up, not a guy that's out on the perimeter the whole game.
Right. Yeah, he's leading the team in touches per minute, and he's not a point guard. So everybody else on the team thinks that he should be holding the ball.
He also he's a key piece of the press break
because he can dribble.
Yeah, yeah.
He dribbles Although, really confidently, which I was excited about.
Yeah, sometimes too confidently. I think. Yeah, he dribbled into like a couple of, like really bad spots the other day. It's just young. It's young guy stuff, and that's what you're seeing from him. We're seeing young guy stuff across the board here, but especially from him. He's a guy who, as Crow pointed out in our snap judgments, should still be playing high school basketball right now.
He should be playing his first couple of games of his senior year.
Yeah. So he would have just completed his high school's Thanksgiving, the local radio station Thanksgiving tournament. So, well, actually, he wouldn't, because he would have been at some academy or, you know, one of those. One of
those. Is he really from Anchorage, stuff. Alaska? Is that right?
Okay, so here's the thing.
He's been all over the place.
I got to know, he's got to be an Army brat or something, because he was born in Nebraska. They keep saying he grew up in Alaska, but I think he was there for 4 years. And then he was in Virginia Beach. And then he was in Georgia, I believe, at some point.
Well, so he went to Huntington in West Virginia for a year.
Okay.
And then from there, he went to Norcross last year, which is around Atlanta.
So he's been.
Yeah, so theoretically, he would have graduated high school from Norcross, but.
He's been everywhere.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like
Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe Air Force kid, maybe. I'm not sure. But, got to be something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean,
because those spots are all
oil and gas.
Yeah.
Or basketball, maybe he's just a mercenary.
Yeah. I guess.
A mercenary.
It's funny.
We can't say kids are mercenaries right now. That's why we're in trouble, Crow.
Dude, he's 10. He went 10 for 13 from the free throw line over the last three games.
It's pretty good. He didn't get to the line as much against. UCF.
If everybody else was shooting his free throw percentage, we'd be 2-1.
He also has a bit of a foul problem himself.
Yeah.
Which again is the young guy thing. I think he is quickly snatching the crown from Horace Spencer in fouls per minute.
He's leading the team.
Fouls. Right now he's coming out at 9.2 fouls per 40.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
For comparison's sake, let's see, Austin Wiley last year, who had a foul problem himself. He was at,
I'm gonna say
4.8.
Yeah. Half that. It's pretty bad. But again, that's a young guy who had a weird preseason. No scrimmages. It's weird.
I think
weird
he's stuff. Going to be really good.
Yeah. Oh,
he's
struggling
right now.
I think he could end up being an elite defender. Just with his length and athleticism, and the kind of guys that he'll be asked to guard. So the other thing with Thor, I don't think we were planning on doing a Thor deep dive, but he wasn't this big until about a year ago, right?
Right.
Like he all of a sudden grew like a foot or something like that, like something crazy. And he was
still
a guard.
Learning how to use a lot of body.
Yeah, he was a guard, which is why he has all these guard skills. And why I like seeing this lineup with him and Stretch, where we have an actual five instead of Thor, who's I don't think that comfortable in the five spot.
Then well, it seems like actually guy. Thor's been playing four and Jalen's been playing the five.
Yeah, which is even weirder.
Yeah. as good as Jalen Williams has looked when he's been on the court, you know, he's had foul troubles too. He doesn't have the size.
Yeah, we gotta move him the other way. Like,
yeah. So we talked about this. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week about, you know, maybe Jalen Williams should be the point guard right now. The struggles this team's had with, you know, obviously losing Sharif Cooper, but then Justin Powell looks great off ball, and he's been okay at point. But you really want to be setting him up to catch and shoot. And Turbo's just kind of struggled so far. Jalen Williams has been bringing the ball up court a lot and looked pretty good doing it. It's not something that's going to happen, but
yeah,
I think it would be a fun thing to play with.
Well, I think we might see a lot of different things here in the next several games until we get Sharif back, maybe. We've done a lot of sort of like just bring not even a press break, just kind of a point guard by committee, like whoever can get to the ball and get it up the court gets it up the court. And then in our half courts, it'll be either Turbo or Justin Powell. Yeah. We discussed this in our Slack earlier today, me and Ryan, we got to get more touches for Jalen. They were limited against Gonzaga because he was on the bench basically the whole game, until it was way too far out of reach, or not too far out of reach, just they had a stranglehold on that game and were playing too well. But Jalen has to get more touches because his impact on the game is not as what it should be, as far as he needs to have the ball in his hands. Our two-point guards are struggling to get the ball to other people. I mean, they're both doing a lot of dribbling and just kind of passing it back and forth at the top of the key with whoever happens to be up there.
Yeah, that's kind of reflected in the usage percent. So just that's basically whoever has the ball at the end of the possession, whether they're shooting it, fouled, turning it over, whatever. Jalen is sixth on the team right now in usage percentage. That shouldn't happen. He's arguably your best player right now, and he needs to be
one
significantly more involved.
Number one,
right?
Who is number one?
That Thor. Would be JT Thor.
That's right.
Thor's number one, and I think if
he's taking a lot of shots,
yeah. Because I think he's trying to shoot himself out of a slump too, in some ways, which is what I would recommend he do. Like I would be the kind of coach who would say you keep shooting till that thing goes in if you think you're a shooter,
yeah.
Because the last thing you want is for him to be like, my issue with Justin Powell is, I don't think Justin Powell wants to shoot the ball. There have been multiple occasions where Bruce has gotten all over him because he's not shooting the rock, and you're like, hey man, you're here to do this one thing. Like, we need you to play point guard for us, but really, we need you to shoot threes because you're the only guy on the team who's super confident.
I wish we could take Turbo's attitude and give it to Justin Powell, because Turbo ain't afraid to shoot that ball.
No,
If it's a really bad shot, he's not afraid to do it.
I want Justin to go in there in his first home game and just say, "I'm taking six threes." Period.
Yeah.
And I don't care when they come, I'm getting six up. I'm getting my six shots up today. And I really like, even though it's not necessarily a natural flow of the game thing, but to have that in your mind, like, I got to take six threes or coach is going to be on me, it'll work and he'll get more shots up. Like, it was frustrating in the UCF game. There were times where I felt like there were not just him, there was a couple of guys that I think Bruce was wanting more out of in terms of shooting. Right. And after the game, the quote from Coach Pearl was basically that. Like, I felt like I had more confidence in my guys' offense than they did. And I don't know if it was because the slump everyone seemed to be in.
Yeah.
But something spooked Auburn, and they really weren't taking the threes that we've seen this team take. They were taking some bad shots in the paint they shouldn't have been taking. Mm-hmm. They were missing layups, but they just weren't. They really weren't taking the threes at the rate that I thought they were open.
Jamal was the only one really willing to just do it.
And that dude made six, didn't he? Or no, he didn't make six. He made four.
Four.
I know he had at one point he had 12 points on threes, which great.
Jamal was 5 for 12.
Awesome.
That's over 50%, buddy. No, under.
Under, but
just under.
I still want him taking. I would love him to be 5 for 12 every game.
Yeah,
that's great. Really? He had a great game.
Yeah, thought so too.
The only thing the guys that I was – I'll tell you else who I thought had an okay game or an okay three games was Stretch. I think Stretch
yeah.
is
– think he's doing what we need him to do.
I think he's better right now than Horace Spencer was at that same role.
Probably. I don't.
Being a defensive enforcer.
Being this defensive enforcer, he can shoot a three. He's made a three already this year.
Yeah. The only thing with him, I don't think he's the physical side. If anybody's super physical, I don't think he's going to be able to
handle it. We don't know yet. We haven't played a team that's overtly going to try to rough us up. I think Stretch is also, though, like, he's a rebounding monster.
Yeah. And he's so freaking long, he can, like, cover the whole court. Like, it's pretty crazy. And this is a guy who hasn't really been playing basketball that long. So it's pretty, I like what I see out of Stretch. I think he's our best five that we have. I wouldn't be surprised to see some lineup shakeup going forward too. Bruce is going to try whatever to get us out of whatever funk that we've seemed to have descended into. So,
right.
I thought Stretch played really well. I don't know how many points he scored this over those games. I would, off the top of my head, I'd say maybe six a game, something like that. Which is probably about all you need from a guy like that if everyone else is, doing what they need to do, which we were not.
I would love him to be 8 points, 8 rebounds, somewhere in there every game.
Yeah.
But I got a feeling like, I think Ferg mentioned this on his podcast, on him and Painter's podcast on Sunday, that Auburn blocked like 7 or 8 shots against Gonzaga.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the number one team in the country, a team that doesn't get a lot of shots blocked traditionally.
Yeah. Right.
There's a decent chance Auburn is a monster in conference play at blocking shots.
Yeah, I think that could absolutely happen. And, I kind of feel like Stretch is a guy that could have 2 or 3, like, monster games, like, where he scores, like, 15 points and, 8 blocks or something crazy like that in one game. If he just
reminiscent of the Anthony Mackamore experience.
Yeah. No, that's who he kind of reminds me of in that he's just his range in the paint. Like, he doesn't have to stick to one spot. Austin was pretty good between, in the lane. Austin could defend anybody down there in the lane. Once you get outside that, I think Austin was a little bit more of a liability, and I don't think Stretch is in that regard. So that's what's great about Stretch.
Mm-hmm. So for comparison's sake, last year Austin Wiley had, 3.1 blocks per 40. Anthony had 2.2 blocks per 40. And we have multiple guys doing better than that this year. Yeah. Jalen Williams is at 2.5 blocks per 40. Javon Franklin, in his limited minutes, has got 3 blocks per 40.
Whoa!
He's been impressive.
You got to throw out anybody who has under 18 minutes in terms of...
Sure. So Stretch has 3.1 blocks per 40. And
he's played...
Dylan Cardwell's got 5.1.
Jeez. Dylan Cardwell. We talk about him a little bit. Dylan Cardwell is a guy I had forgotten about from the recruiting wrap-ups. But he's playing, he reminds me body-wise of a Sean May, deep cut chief, May.
Yeah.
North Carolina Tar Heel. Ryan, do you remember Sean May from North Carolina?
I have no idea who Sean May is.
National champion, North Carolina Tar Heels, was Rashad McCants and Sean May.
Sure.
Marvin Williams.
Those are names. Oh, I know Marvin Williams.
Yeah, former Atlanta Hawk.
Great. The Hawks for a while, yeah.
They drafted him over Chris Paul, famously. Sean May built like
Dylan Cardwell. Talking about the paint company there for a second round.
No. The difference between Sean May
Sherman.
Cardwell's not the offensive soft touch around the basket, can make everything within 15 feet that a guy like Sean May was. But those guys don't really exist like that anymore. But he is a big body that's tough to move out of the way on defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
For 18 years old, geez Louise.
I think this dude is going to be really good next year, and then the next year could be a monster. Like,
he's going to terrorize this league as an upperclassman.
Yeah, I think
Auburn,
so.
If Auburn fans will look at this season the way that Dallas Mavericks fans looked at this past and the first Luka year, Luka Doncic's first 2 years, where no Mavericks fan in the city of Dallas thought the Mavericks were going to make the playoffs Luka's rookie year. And we didn't. So every year, every game, it was, holy cow, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
What cool thing. Let's watch him. Let's do something. Let's see if he improves. You know, it wasn't, oh, man, we lost to the Bucks. That's going to really hurt our playoff chances. We know we're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's how I came into this season. That's how I was coming into this season even before the you know, postseason ban announcement stuff, is just to have fun. And, like, I know a lot of people listening to this probably did not pay that much attention to Auburn basketball for years. But if you did, you watched plenty of freaking seasons with no hope of making tournament. Right. There's plenty to play for, and that's pride. That's trying to see if you can have a winning season and continue that streak going. There's plenty to play for here. And beating Alabama. And we have all this young talent. This has got to be the most talented roster top to bottom that we've ever had since the 80s.
For sure.
And, you know, it's just have fun with it. And I am having fun despite the losses. Just seeing the flashes of brilliance from Thor, for instance. Just enjoying watching Stretch play. I like watching that guy play. Watching Justin Powell kind of grow into the point guard role. Like, he's looked a little better every game. Hopefully he'll get comfortable enough soon to start taking some shots and be a serviceable point guard until we don't need him to be a serviceable point guard anymore. Whether that be this year, next year, whenever.
Yeah.
And
even through these first three games, he's still scoring 11 points a game.
Yeah, he's doing
it's
okay.
Not like he's just
actually
11
points a game is about what you probably expect from a 3-star freshman coming in.
Right,
like that's way more than you expect.
No, for sure. And
very quietly, he's got almost 7 rebounds a game too.
Yeah,
I love Carver.
That's wild from a point guard, right?
Yeah.
We talking about Powell? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, he's actually a really, really skilled rebounder. Like
Javon McCormick, remember?
Yeah, similar to Javon, like, you don't see a lot of point guards who, well, he's a shooting guard. Let's put it, Powell is a shooting guard.
Yeah,
he is a two who is being forced to play one.
But even Samir had 4 rebounds a game. Javon was 4.
Yeah, this is
Isaac 7. Okoro had 4.5.
I think Javon's was super high when he was the backup, right? Like, I seem to remember
Javon was a better rebounder than he should have been for his height.
Yeah, I seem to remember,
sure,
a couple years ago he got some like crazy rebounds. Jared was an okay rebounder.
Yeah,
when you're
Powell,
Justin,
Powell
Justin Powell is 6'6".
Justin Powell is a 6'6" rebounder. He's more like Mustafa Herron to bring up Mustafa.
Well, and when you're a guard too, it's all about knowing. It's a little bit like how Dennis Rodman was such a good rebounder. Knowing where that ball is going to bounce off the rim and being in the right place more than it is boxing out and stuff like
just
that.
Follow your shot.
Yeah, well, not follow everybody's shot.
Right.
In that case.
And the thing that Auburn does, we haven't talked about this. Let's take a break after we talk about this.
Yeah, sure.
In modern basketball, especially in the NBA, offensive rebounding is a statistic that no one cares about anymore. Like,
they just run back.
They get back on defense. They would rather save a possession on defense. Because teams are getting so good at transition baskets, especially transition three-pointers, you cannot risk giving up an easy two on one end because you're trying to get a difficult rebound.
Oh, that may have been the worst part about that UCF game is they were running like the Jared Harper, Bryce Brown offense on us. They hit a couple of transition threes that made me want to throw up in my mouth.
But Auburn is a – so far, pretty elite offensive rebounding team. Like,
Yeah, better than last year.
Better than last year. Last year was a really
without
good
Austin Wiley, who was amazing at offensive rebounding.
Austin Wiley was like God created an offensive rebounder. Like that was what that was. But yeah, this team has not had a putback dunk yet, but has come extremely close to like
40. Yeah. Yeah.
So it will not shock me if all of a sudden we're just putback dunk, because right. they've mistimed a bunch of jumps because every single guy on the team is trying to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every guy on the team is trying to get an offensive rebound, and most of these dudes can jump out of the gym on this year's team. And so they're trying to get offensive rebounds and then throw them back up as fast as possible. So I think I'm excited to see that going forward. I really think that offensive rebounding is going to keep Auburn in a lot of games it has no business being in this season, because we're going to get two possessions instead of just one on a lot of trips on the court. And I really think we get Justin Powell playing the two at some point, that we will – those offensive rebounds will turn into wide open threes by Justin Powell at the corner. And that will be
– with Jalen Williams at the point.
There we go.
Hopefully Sharif Cooper at the point. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
All right, and we're back on what might be a short podcast this week. I don't know. 35 minutes, 26 seconds into this pod. And we talked about everybody except, really, we haven't spoken a lot about Devin Cambridge, who is playing very similarly to Devin Cambridge at the end of last season.
Most of last season.
Yeah.
If you want to be quite honest about it.
The thought was, if this dude can get more minutes and get more practice and put a little more beef on his body, he will be a more consistent player. And he's kind of the same guy still.
Yeah.
I think he's got a bigger role, but I don't know what – he's not doing a ton with it.
It seems pretty clear that he's being expected to be the primary scorer, at least from the guards.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been happening.
I think you're right.
Let's see how many threes has he taken so far.
He did all right the first game, right? Am I misremembering that?
He took a ton of shots with his headband on.
The headband.
Yeah, he had a double double in the St. Joe's game, 13 points, 10 rebounds, but he was only 11% from three.
That ain't good. That ain't gonna cut it.
Yeah.
That'll get Jamal Johnson taking your spot.
For the season, he's 3 for 17.
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's worrisome. Because that's a guy who got some minutes last year. You'd hope you need your guys that got minutes last year to produce. And that is not production.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows it too. I mean, I think
he
saw, he posted earlier today, just, you know, you always hate to see an athlete apologizing to fans for, oh man, no, I know I've played bad.
Don't apologize. But,
yeah. I mean, he put that out earlier today.
The fact that an Auburn basketball player would feel the need to apologize to Auburn basketball fans is the weirdest timeline that Auburn basketball could go on, because you never saw the Lebo teams apologize because there was no one to apologize to.
Yeah, who are you apologizing to?
There was
no one in the bookies.
In the Barbie seasons to apologize to. Sorry, World Wide West. I'm sorry.
There is nobody out there that hopes that they can improve more than Devin Cambridge. Like, I'm sure that he...
Right.
He wants to be the guy. And, maybe he needs maybe everybody just needs to reevaluate real quickly before, you know, we play another game and figure out
what
I think
will help is them getting out of Florida, coming back home.
Sure. A young team as well. And normally I would be like, well, of course home's going to be great because our crowd's great and all that. But just again, what we discussed earlier. The being sleeping in your own bed, all that stuff, just being at home could greatly help this young team.
Mm.
And you know, maybe when that happens, we'll see more out of guys like Devin and Thor.
And they'll be at home this Friday.
Yeah.
They finally.
Will. Oh, who's going to see that game? Either one of you two guys?
So this is going to be mostly like students.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since students, the way they broke it up is that with the when classes are in session, students are going to get priority for tickets. Over the holiday break, it'll be, non-students.
Will Sharif Cooper be in attendance?
Yes.
Attendance, yeah. Well, he's a student, right? At the very worst, he gets a student ticket.
Right.
You'd hope.
You think if, I wonder if Bruce would be like, hey, man, it's a little bit distracting if you were out here turning the ball over 14 times and you're sitting on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, does he sit on the bench in streets? A la Dangelo Purifoy.
That's true. Dangelo was on the bench for every game, wasn't he, that year?
Yep, it's his freshman year, yep. He also practiced, I believe, so.
Yeah, Sharif's not even being allowed to practice. As far as we know.
As far as we know. There was the people said he practiced late, well, a couple weeks ago now at this point. They've been gone a week.
Right.
But, who knows about that. But
Crow, I got a question for you.
Sure.
I'm looking at our opponent for Friday, South Alabama. I'm looking at their schedule. And so far, they've played two D2 teams. I'm assuming you can guess where the first one is because the name of the school is Mobile. The second school that they played actually today, Emmanuel. Have you ever heard of that?
I mean, I've heard of the concept, God with us.
Sure, but like
incarnation, the school. No.
I've never heard of it either.
Is it Emmanuel College?
Emmanuel College. Let's see. Google is telling me it is a private co-ed Catholic school in Boston.
Doubt. I wonder if it's the same one. There could be multiple Emmanuel Colleges. That would not shock me.
It was founded as the first women's Catholic college in New England in 1919, and it is a member of the Colleges of the Fenway Consortium.
I wonder if it's NAIA.
These are a lot of Boston things that I don't know.
Yeah. So you said it's Division II?
I'm assuming.
These don't count for towards KenPom, I guess.
Well, regardless, they won 86-47.
Gosh.
But they did lose to Jack State last Sunday, 77-73.
That's because Jack State's great.
They sure are.
I don't know if they're great, but.
So their only game against a 1A opponent they've lost, and it was to Jack State.
Well, they also played FAU Wednesday before Thanksgiving and won by two.
These Jokers played a full season already.
Yeah, four games, man.
Jacksonville crushed FAU, I think. So
yeah, I mean, South Alabama is – so they're 3-1, but, two wins against D2 teams. They're 214th in KenPom. Just looking at their breakdown real quick. They like to play nice and slow. They are 330th in tempo.
Gross.
Out of 365.
Gross. 360 gross.
Something. But they can shoot the daylights out of the ball. They're shooting 50% from three.
No,
that's good because remember last year I told you about all these teams that couldn't shoot the ball from three. And they would shoot 45% against Auburn.
You're trying to put the Ryan curse on these guys.
Sure.
He's reverse curse.
Flip it around on them.
The reverse jinx.
They're 50% from three. They don't rebound particularly well.
It troubles me that they shoot that well from three because our perimeter defense is not particularly good.
Usually what happens when a team with more talent that is faster – that wants to run up and down. I think Auburn actually wants to run up and down more than they have been.
I do too.
Which is wild because it feels like the game is out of control. But I think Bruce wants it to be more out of control.
Our half-court offense blows. I think that's why we want to just run them up and down.
So I think
you don't need a point guard if you're just going in transition
exactly,
the whole time.
Exactly.
I think that in this game, you have kind of an immovable object versus an irresistible force type game where like – is Auburn going to be able to speed them up, or are they going to slow Auburn down? And I think it's going to come down to who's missing shots, who's making shots, who's getting rebounds.
Oh boy.
And I believe that Auburn's going to get more rebounds than them.
Yeah, that's true.
And defensive rebounds equal pace, because Auburn will get a missed shot and turn around and make it into pace.
Yeah, we could boat race them.
Very much so.
A nice discrepancy that I don't know if Auburn has ever had the advantage of. The average height for South Alabama is, help me do the math, 75 and a half inches. That's what, 6'3"?
Yeah.
That's their average height?
Yeah. Auburn's average height is 78.7, which is 6'6" and a half.
Dude,
that makes women's basketball team might be taller than that team.
I know. So that means Auburn is 12th in the country in average height, which is weird. And South Alabama is 234th. So we're already a good rebounding team, and they are a pretty poor rebounding team. I think that will be even more exaggerated in this game.
We need to quickly look up what is the record for rebounds in the game by Auburn.
It's going to be a SWAT fest, too.
Oh, like. Yeah. I just want to put a lineup out there of Cardwell, Stretch, Jalen, Thor, and we'll let Justin Powell be out there because he's still taller than most of their team.
Man.
Anybody know what is the record for the most rebounds in a game in Auburn basketball history?
Great question.
While you're looking at that.
It is Rex Frederick, born in 1936 in Hamilton, Alabama. Played for the Auburn Tigers, and in 1957, allegedly, according to Wikipedia, had 27 rebounds versus SMU.
Whoa. Good grief.
Now,
that's a lot of rebounds.
Obviously pre-integration, so.
It's a lot of missed shots.
Doesn't really count, but.
27.
27 rebounds.
The whole team will get that many in one half.
In 2006, he had his jersey retired. So one of three Tigers. He was the third Auburn Tiger with a retired jersey.
Yep.
He organized, and guess what, Chief and Ryan, fun fact about Rex Frederick, he organized and started the University of South Alabama Jaguars basketball team in 1966.
Whoa. No, he really.
Boom, 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 boom. Guys, I think for Rex Frederick's honor, that record comes down this week.
Well, so who gets 27 or 28?
28 rebounds. Oh man, I think Dylan Cardwell. No, it has to be a starter. So I'm thinking it's gonna be Stretch Akimbola.
What if it's Justin Powell?
We'll come down with 28 rebounds. Justin Powell. If Justin Powell gets 28 rebounds in a game, he's gonna go for this year.
If they're chucking up those threes, though, he's just as likely to stretch.
He'll have a triple double if he gets 27 rebounds in a game. Which. I think.
Does he go pro next week?
Next week. He goes, I'm out. I'm just going to play in Australia, you guys. I'm out of here. Give me Stretch. Give me 28 rebounds by the big man.
28. Man.
That's it.
So
I'm going to say Stretch gets close to a triple-double in this game.
The problem with 28 rebounds versus USA is that it is – If he gets 28 rebounds, it's because for some reason the game is really close and he's had to play all 40 minutes.
And that also means we're still not shooting the ball well.
Right.
Yeah.
So what we'd like for him to do is get 28 rebounds in the first half because they are terrible.
Yeah.
He's just getting every defensive rebound. He's just catching air balls and throwing them back out.
I honestly could see him getting close to a triple-double. Like, really?
Stretch?
Yeah.
I could see him...
This is
going to
be SWAT fest.
At some point, yeah.
He could have like 8 blocks in this game.
So I'm looking at their South Alabama's rotations, and KenPom only has them playing seven players.
Oof.
That's I'm not sure how that works.
I don't want to be overconfident about any game with this Auburn team, just to be quite frank about how I feel things are going at the moment until this team can figure out what it's doing. But a team that is an average height of 6'3", shoots a lot of shots and only plays seven players and wants to play slow against our giant team that wants to play fast. Also shoots a lot of shots. I'm gonna go with the Tigers in this one.
So am I. Guys, give me another Rex Frederick fun fact while we're here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Rex Frederick was an All-American selection in 1959 as a high school player, three-time All-SEC player. As you guys know, John Mingle was the first Auburn Tiger with his jersey retired.
Yes.
Sir Charles Barkley was the second Auburn Tiger with his jersey retired. Rex Frederick had his jersey retired on the same day as two other Auburn Tigers.
Yes, I am aware of those. I'm pretty sure I was there that day.
The Person brothers both have their jerseys retired right next to Rex Frederick's. Right? Cousins, right. Person cousins. They all got their jersey retired on the same day. So you know what? Maybe we can get two things to come down that day, if you know what I mean. Let's get a record come down. Let's get a jersey to come down.
Last thing on USA, their starting five by height is 6 foot, 6'1", 6'3", 6'5", and 6'8".
No, that ain't going to cut it. You ain't going to win many ball games in Division One with that.
Oh, man.
At least they got the 6'8 guy, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I think Auburn's had a couple teams like
that. He's their least used player.
Auburn had a lot of teams like that, Chief.
Yeah.
Auburn had a team that was that way, and the 6'8 guy was the point guard.
Yeah.
cinnamon.
Yeah, whatever. Do we have any other games this week? Just that one?
So the next game is let's see. It's not until Memphis on December 12th.
That's my birthday.
There we go. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
It's
the day before my stepmom's birthday.
What's that?
It's the day before my stepmom's birthday. We got a football game this weekend, right?
Sure. I mean, coming off a bye, I'm pretty happy with where the team's standing right now.
Yeah, we could still go 7-3.
That's it.
It's respectable.
Just playing nine games, right?
Yeah.
7-3 is about exactly what everyone thought we would go. Problem is the three. Oh,
I think a lot of people thought we were going 5-5, but
I think the issue with 7-3 is that as per usual, two of the three are predictable, and the one is just hands in the air.
Yeah, I don't think. Assuming, and this is a big assumption, that the previous game did not break the psyche of this team, I don't think there's any reason we shouldn't win this weekend. As expressed many times on this pod, zero respect for Bo Fisher. I don't think he's a great coach. And I don't think this A&M team is very good. So I'll just
tell
throw
me
it out
thoughts
there.
On Kellen Mond.
You know what? He's played better this year than in the past.
Not last week he didn't.
And not last week against a very bad LSU team.
Bo Nix looked like Peyton Manning against that LSU defense.
Yeah.
Kellen Mond.
So,
Kellen was like Cooper Manning against him.
Now let's hope that wasn't his one terrible game and he bounces back. I don't see it. I think we're going to win. I think A&M's going to just go tumbling down the rankings. I know they're fifth right now. It would satisfy our need to beat a highly ranked team when we're not ranked, which is an old Auburn favorite. A hit, playing the hits there. I don't think we should have a problem winning this game at home.
Does it bother you that A&M is fourth in offensive success rate and second in defensive success
Zero.
Rate?
Zero. The stats this year do not even cut into my brain at all. I will not be swayed by stats because from week to week, you never know what you're getting with any team.
Right.
And
except for Alabama.
One team could, like A&M, could catch every team on a bad week, and it makes them look great.
Didn't A&M almost lose to Vandy in the first week?
Yes. And, yeah, they beat Florida, right? Whoop-de-doo. They got blown out by Alabama worse than we did, right? At home.
So, at home with the advantage of a pick six.
Yeah. So I'm not that worried about them. I could see it being kind of like the Tennessee game where it's like, oh, man, we're really going to let this happen. And then we win going away. So Kellerman, God love him. You know, maybe he deserves a win against Auburn.
For once in his career.
For once in his career, but I don't see it happening. And Jimbo, and then we can all point and laugh at A&M for paying Jimbo that much money. And then kind of do our thumbs over towards FSU and be like, see what he did there. That's what you're paying for in this. But I don't know.
Yep.
Crow?
I'm in the same boat. I think
we're going to beat them fake military dudes.
I hate Texas A&M more than I hate Alabama.
I know.
So I would really, 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 really enjoy beating them.
Mm-hmm.
It won't feel as nice because I won't see any of my family members who went there in the foreseeable future. But it will still feel nice in my heart of hearts to know that we are better than them and that Gus is now has won four straight against Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
And that A&M's, remember A&M, A&M is sneaky in the top 10 of the playoff ranking after early in the year, everybody was like, they're going to fire Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah,
He just, in a similar way to Gus, just keeps cashing them checks, keeps getting them checks. That's what he does best. And and Auburn's going to beat him, I think. I think Auburn's going to beat him. I picked it big, 41-21.
Your pick's already in.
I picked him 41-21. And I think
over the number 5 team in the country.
I don't think they're the number.
Auburn is going to react. I think the Auburn defense is going to respond to last week. And I think Kevin Steele's got something cooked up for Kellen Mond. So I think, you know, Gus has a pretty decent record in home games against teams that he should beat.
Yeah.
I mean, does this count as a
what's the spread?
Gus needs to win this game.
No.
Because if so, we're gonna blow out A&M.
I don't think so. I hope so.
Can we pretend like it is?
Sure. Sure. What's the spread on this?
I think Auburn's about a touchdown dog.
A dog. Yeah, I don't see it, and I think I've expressed this on the show before. I think anybody actively betting on the season's a little crazy. Maybe not as much now. I know the stats say that A&M's actually pretty good, a pretty good football team. I don't buy it. I honestly don't buy it. And they could win this weekend. Auburn could play like crap. But the way this season has been, weird stuff happening is just weird stuff happening. And I don't know. They beat the crap out of South Carolina. I think that gives some people some pause. But South Carolina was just a really bad game away from home, and I don't think we play that bad at home, so we got this. Does that sound like I'm just trying to convince myself we're gonna win this?
It sounds a bit like
it. Sounds like you already have.
Oh yeah. Ryan, you think we're gonna win?
You know what? I have no idea.
Okay. Well, that's actually
is it bad to say? I'm probably going to miss this game.
Mm.
We normally do well when I do.
It's true.
You're not going to a wedding, though.
It's not a wedding, no. But
that doesn't
count. Pops has member guests at his course this weekend, so we'll be playing some golf.
Well, I, too, was set to go to this game, but since they decided to give us another 11 a.m. kickoff, I am unable to go. So, but a friend of the show, Lydia and James are
Lindiana
going.
Lindiana James.
Yeah, Lindiana James with our buddy JG.
Not Tate.
Notice I said buddy. But I am unable to go. So,
well, those of you who are go, give them hell, and make sure we get a win. And let's talk about this next week.